inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Michelle, let me make sure I got your strategy right. So you're buying really beat up, rough properties in horrible neighborhoods. And you're turning around not just the property, but also the neighborhood, right?
I tend to go into these rougher areas because I'm kind of used to it. That's what I started in. I grew up in Southern California. This is nothing unusual to me. And I am very close with the Huntsville Police Department. And they will come, you know, at any moment that I need help. And so when I tell them, hey, I've got a property I need to empty out, they will come. And so that's what we do. And of course, the city council and everybody, they love me because we go in there and we do that. And then we create value. So we empty it out, we renovate it, and we get good tenants in there and we push those values up.
Michelle is basically buying rental properties that nobody else wants. These properties are in really bad shape. They've been boarded up for years. But because of that, she's able to buy them for next to nothing. She fixes them up, she gets really good tenants in place, and she ends up with a property that cash flows like crazy. So on the show today, we're going to figure out exactly how she does it. Joining us on the show today from Huntsville is Michelle Cummings. We'll take a really quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll meet Michelle. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E. lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Being a landlord just became a lot easier thanks to Tenant Cloud. They have everything you need to manage your rental properties all in one place, from taking online applications to creating custom leases specific to your state and collecting rent online. And this is really cool. They actually have local contractors in your area to help you when you have a repair call. That's right, contractors in your area that are there for you when you need them. Everything is right there, all in one place. How much does it cost? Well, this is crazy. It's totally free to sign up. It's not a trial. It's free forever. They do have some paid plans, but it's totally free to sign up and get started. Just go to tenantcloud.com. That's tenantcloud, C-L-O-U-D, tenantcloud.com. Let's start off by talking about the neighborhood that your rentals are in.
Well, in Huntsville, all of the, you know, quote unquote, bad areas, per previous bad areas, they're all up and coming. So like the property that I just picked up is the worst property in that neighborhood. Like that's the last one to be fixed up and renovated.
Okay. Okay. So you're finding the beat up rundown property, is this the kind of property that has broken windows and a bunch of
okay, yes, the kicked in doors, the broken windows? Yeah, this one is rough.
And are there people generally living in the properties when you buy them, or are you buying vacant properties?
Well, you know, the properties I bought at auction and those types of properties, like the one I just picked up, yes, there are people in them. And it's kind of sad because I can't imagine having human beings living in those conditions, first of all. But that's, again, why you have, you know, the drugs and the thugs in there. And so that's what we have to go in there and we have to remove them. And so we go in, make our presence known very early on. And so at this last property, the old owner, he had the power on to the whole building, which is a huge mistake because all you do is just attract people to the building. They know the power's on and all they have to do is break in, especially during wintertime. They just break in and they just use your power. Mm. They're warm and they can cook food or whatever they need to do on your bill.
Right, right.
So you really don't want to do that. I'm very against properties being on contract. And then, of course, being on contract, if your tenant ever stops paying their utility bill, guess what? It switches automatically over to you.
Right. Okay.
So bad idea. That's really bad.
So let's talk about one of your deals, because like the numbers are just incredible that you're buying these properties for. So there's a partnership that you're doing right now. Tell me about the property that you're buying with your partner.
Okay, so it's a 20 unit complex. It's a really bad rundown property. That's the one I'm kind of telling you about that has a lot of bad guys in it. It was known for being full of drugs and sex offenders and things like that. And I remember the property probably last year. One of the community development guys said, "You have to buy this property." And I said, "Oh, no. I don't want that one." And because I knew it was full of problems. Mm-hmm. Well, it was brought to me again after it was foreclosed on. And they said, "Okay, we'll give it to you for this." And then see, now it starts to become interesting, because if I can get it for a really cheap price, then it becomes something doable. So I said, "Well, okay, maybe this will work." So, essentially I got it for about $9,500 a unit.
Wow.
So one of the buildings is, it has burned. It is condemned, but the other three, had people in them, not in wonderful conditions, but there's people in them. The first thing that I did was I had the old owner turn the power off. It was, he had it under contract to where, the power just stays on, and that's bad. So, I went around and I told everybody, I said, "Look, I don't have leases on anybody." I said, "If you want to come forward and tell me who you are and have a background check, and then we can maintain you in these units. But if you don't want to do that, then you have to leave." Okay. And I gave him a period of time to come forward. The old owner, he turned the power off. And so, the people that came forward, they got on contract, they went over, they got their utilities on, they showed me their utility switchover notice. And so we maintained probably seven tenants that were there that wanted to stay, and they were motivated to stay.
And then how did you get rid of the other people?
So I went over with the police department, and then we went door to door of the ones that were not supposed to have anybody in them, or weren't supposed to have, weren't on lease agreements. And we basically evicted those people, or, we trespassed them because they were squatting.
All right. So for the building, so you paid about $175 for the building.
Yes.
And so it sounds like the building needs a lot of work. Is that right? Now,
yes.
So you've got tenants in there that are fine living with the condition of the property. But is it hard to get tenants in the other units when the building needs a lot of work?
Well, when people see that you're fixing the building, the exterior is the big thing. You start rebuilding the outside, painting it and things like that. And they're solid, they're all solid brick. So I'm considering, going in there, repainting the whole exterior, changing the roofs. And so making the outside look really nice and more appealing, and then starting on the insides and making them really nice. And because they're more like studio apartments, it's not going to take that much to start making them nice and moving people back in.
Okay. And so how much will it cost, like to do the roof, to do the outside, to rehab the inside units? How much are you budgeting for the entire building?
I was hoping at first it was going to run about 150, but it's looking like it's going to be $50,000 or $60,000 more than that. So maybe 200, 210.
All right. So 200 to fix it up, 175 for the building. So you're all in at about 375. And how much will the total rents be for the building when it's fixed up?
We're hoping once we get it real nice, that they're going to be between, 450 and 475 a piece.
So somewhere like 9,000, 10,000 a month for the building,
yeah,
for the whole building. Wow. Those are incredible numbers. And the neighborhood is a good neighborhood.
It is an up and coming neighborhood, and that describes a lot of the neighborhoods in Huntsville, because what you're finding is that the inventory of housing is so low. that you're able to pick and choose your tenants now. It's not like you just have to settle for, you know, tenants with low credit scores or low incomes or anything like that. We're able to get good tenants moving into previously rough neighborhoods. And so all the other complexes around that particular complex, they've already fixed up.
Okay. Okay. So are you doing Section 8 tenants?
I don't prefer Section 8. I don't bring in new Section 8s. We tend to have we tend to have some problems with the program sometimes, and it usually is tenant related. I mean, this is a tenant check, and the tenants should be concerned about their own check, but sometimes they're not, and they're not always really cooperative. So at the start of the program, if you're wanting to be on Section 8, you have to have multiple inspections. You're not always going to pass their first inspection. And sometimes it's for little things like you need a tub stopper or you need caps over the screws on your toilet or something silly like that that you wouldn't always notice. And it's not always on their list, mm-hmm. but they will fail you for it. So things like that. And then so after waiting and multiple inspections and then, okay, then you might get approved. Then you have to, you know, go through that process with the tenant and everything else. And it's just a long process. So first at the front end, I can get a tenant in no time. You know, anything right. under $1,000 rents here so fast. And so, you know, the question is, why would I wait that long through that process? And then when you have Section 8 tenants, you have a couple of problems. Number one, they may or may not pay their portion. And during COVID, evictions are very hard. So then you have to decide, well, am I going to try to evict this person for not paying their portion? It might be one lady I have is $30. One lady I have is $94. Oh, and those portions change all the time too. You know, right. So it might be that much one day and then they make you more work because they will send paperwork and they say, okay, now their portion is $239. Okay, so then you have to change it in the system and make sure that they pay their $239 instead of $94 or whatever it was. And so then the next part is they get an annual inspection. Okay, so on an annual inspection, you know, tenant has messed up the property or whatever. So they have some things that are resident responsibility and they have some that are owner responsibility. And if you do not repair those items, you will not get paid. Then you go into abatement and that's... If even if the resident is required to make their repairs as well. But we've had situations here recently where we went in on the very last day to fix because the tenant just would not let us in the house. Now, why would that happen? You know, it's ridiculous. Yeah. They're responsible right. for their own check. And I've had that happen multiple times. One girl, I called Section 8 and I said, I'm not fixing their house. Not doing it because she has, we've literally knocked on her door. She's in there and she refuses to let him in.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like it's just not worth it, you know, to deal with that. So are you screening really good? Because I feel like at that price point at a $400, $500 a month tenant, you got to be really careful to make sure that you're getting a high quality person. So are you screening really good?
Yes, I use First Advantage for my screening. It does a complete background check. And so they will do a federal background check, criminal credit check, social security number verification, terrorist watch list. They do the sex offender list.
How did you get into these lower end rentals? Like what attracted you to working in this market?
Well, I mean, when I started, I had come to Huntsville and was working at the arsenal for the Army as a, I'm a certified internal auditor, a certified defense financial manager, and a certified fraud examiner. And so I was working for the Army and I bought my first property just as an investment, you know, cause I wanted to do something else besides just working at the arsenal. I wanted to have, you know, some kind of retirement. So I bought my first house. It was a 3-bedroom, 1-bath for $35,000. Mm-hmm. And my first one wasn't so bad, you know, and then I felt kind of confident. And then I bought my next one and it was really bad. And so it cost a lot more money to fix it. And I made all the you know, first time investor mistakes, you know, got in trouble with the city, like, you got to have a permit. Okay. You know, all those things. I did all of those things wrong. So, but got through it, got fixed and everything else. And then, so when I was doing that house, I met a guy across the street. He had two or three houses in that area and he had two or three buildings. And so we got to talking to him and he goes, I want to sell all my stuff. And so, myself and my husband at the time, we got interested in like, okay, well, this seems interesting and, you know, owning buildings and things. And they were over by the Arsenal and I felt like I could maintain them. So we bought his stuff. So 2 8-plexes and 3 houses. Three small houses.
Why do you think your first rental went so well? Was it just dumb luck?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Cause, I mean, it's not always, it's, you know, you just like a car, you know, I mean, a car can look good on the outside, right? And then you start driving it and the engine goes out. It's just, you buy a lemon sometimes and you just don't know.
I mean,
when you buy an as is, it's as is.
Right. Right. Wow. All right. So do you think that having that good experience on that first rental just empowered you to keep going? Like, do you think if you had a really tough time on that first deal that you may have said that, you know, this isn't worth it. This is really hard. I don't want to do it.
I think so. I think that people can get discouraged easily, you know, and it also is a strain on your finances. So if you're not in the position to you know, keep up with that. Like if you've decided that that's your sole source of income, you know, those kinds of things, then, it makes it tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Now today you've left your job at the Armory and you live full time off your rental income. How many rentals did it take for you before you felt comfortable to leave your job?
I had like 6 4-plexes, 2 8-plexes, and I owned, and I had some houses, you know, I had probably 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, 5 or 6 houses.
Okay. Now, the other thing that you're known for is for really helping out your tenants. And tell me about this story. I think this is a great story where you had a tenant that wanted to buy a property and came to you and said, Michelle, will you help me buy a house? Tell me what happened.
Well, you know, it's really, really difficult right now for first-time homebuyers anyway. And so sometimes we have to get creative and we work with our wholesalers or investors if they have something that they're willing to let somebody buy. So I was working with a wholesaler and he was willing to sell this property for $45,000 now. And I did go in and look at the property and it was very livable. The only problem with the house, it really needed some of the decks reinforced and it needed a roof really bad. He would have been able to re-roof it and reinforce those decks and own the house outright. So they went ahead and bought the house. But the mistake that he made was he had these ideas of grandiose. He was going to renovate the whole thing and he started doing things that didn't make sense. So he started knocking down all of the decks that went around the house. You know, instead of repairing them or anything, he just knocked them down. Mm-hmm. And then he left them in the yard. And then he started cutting down trees. He had some guy come and cut down trees and then he left those in the yard. And so the cousin came to me and he said, Michelle, you know, he's not going to move back into the house and he's in an apartment and, you know, what are we going to do? And, you know, he just now he's spent his money and he can't afford to fix it. And, you know, so basically made a bunch of mistakes and now he can't do anything with the house. So, you know, of course, I'm feeling bad and I'm just like, gosh, you know, what am I going to do? So anyway, I said, OK, I'll buy it back from you. And he had spent, you know, $6,000 knocking down the decks and some trees. And so I gave him $51,000 for the house. I went ahead and bought the house and trying to decide what I'm going to do with it. Am I going to turn it into a rental? Am I going to knock it down? You know, talk to my contractor. And so we took the roof off, the pole barn roof, and we raised it to a normal house roof, and it's got a whole upper level, beautiful room. So 2 bedrooms upstairs with a hall bath in the middle, And then you've got your main level that used to be 70s carpet and all that kind of stuff. We ripped everything out and we put a deck off of the master. We put a deck off of the backside, and then there's a deck up to the front door into the main level, and all new LVP flooring. Everything's new. All the new sheetrock. Everything is granite. All the showers and tubs and everything are all custom tile. So we turned a $51,000 house into a $420,000 house.
Wow. It's too bad things didn't work out for your tenant, but that was really nice of you to buy the property back, and I'm glad it worked out. That sounds like a nice flip. If anybody wants to reach out to Michelle, I've got her contact information on the website. In addition to owning rentals, she also owns a property management company, and she's also an agent in the Huntsville area. If you want to reach her, you can find her information on the website. Just go to rentalincomepodcast.com/episode311. I'd like to thank today's sponsors for making this episode possible. I'd like to thank Tenant Cloud. If you're looking for online leases, online applications, or you want to set up automatic ACH payments for your tenants, you can do it all at tenantcloud.com. I would also like to thank Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If Michelle inspired you and you're ready to buy your first property or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge. You can find out more and get started today. Just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE, lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. Make sure you subscribe or hit follow on whatever app you're listening to the show on, and you'll get notified as soon as the next episode comes out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.